Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor Avraham Goldin, and today we're Zechus Be'ah, Daf Lamed Hey, the end of the fourth parak Hamevi, and the beginning of the fifth parak Mashiling. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara presents a statement which contradicts the ruling of Rav Nachman, that Shabbos is kovegel and maisus for even produce that has not had its gemar malach, that has not been completely processed. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, ve'echad Truma, ve'echad Chatzur, ve'echad Mekoch, whether it's the Shabbos or Truma or Chatzur or a purchase, Kulan in Kovin El Bedavish and Nigmar Malachtan. All of them establish a chiyuv for maisus only for something whose processing has been completed. The Gemara demonstrates that each of the four rulings are subject to a dispute, necessitating Rabbi Yochanan to rule in each case. It was necessary to rule regarding Shabbos to reject the opinion of Hillel, for it was taught in a Braisa, if someone gathered fruits for the purpose of transporting them from one place to another to spread them to dry, the Kiddush Alehen Hayom, and the day became sanctified. When Shabbos began, Rabbi Yehuda says that Hillel La'atzmo Oser, Hillel alone prohibits these fruits on Shabbos. Rashi explains that from Yehuda's language, it's implied that the majority ruled that the fruits were permitted since they were not fully processed. Pointing to the opening mission of the fifth parak states, Mashiling Peros Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov Avlo B'Shabbos. We may lower produce through a skylight on Yantav but not on Shabbos. Rashi explains that if one had spread out wheat and barley on his roof to dry, and fears that oncoming rains will ruin them, he may throw them through a skylight on Yantav into the house, since it's not considered Tirchi Yisera, excessive exertion. However, one cannot lift produce to pass it through a window, since this does involve excessive exertion. And point number three, the Gemara asks how much produce may be lowered through the skylight. And Rabbi Zera said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, and some say it was Rabbi Yossi, said in Rabbi Yochanan, the amount is equivalent to what we learned in the Mishnah on Shabbos. We may clear away four or five boxes of straw or of produce because of guests or because of limiting seating in the Beis HaMidrash. Our Mishnah too would allow moving four or five boxes. The Gemara gives three reasons why this amount would not necessarily apply to our Mishnah. Number one, perhaps here, since there's no bittul beis hamidrash, we cannot be so lenient. Number two, since people are makmir with Shabbos, they will not become lax in observance if they're permitted to move four or five boxes. But regarding Yantav, whose laws are lenient, and therefore people may become lax in his observance, perhaps we should not allow the boxes to be lowered through the skylight. And number three, alternatively, perhaps the reason the Mishnah only permits moving four or five boxes on Shabbos is that there's no hefsed mamon, there's no loss of money. But here, where there is a financial loss, if the boxes are left on the roof, perhaps you can move even more. So once again, the three points are number one, the Gemara presents a statement which contradicts the ruling of Rav Nachman, that Shabbos is kovel ha'maisus for even produce that has not had its gemar malach, that has not been completely processed. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, in the name of Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, ve'echad Truma, ve'echad Chatzur, ve'echad Mekoch, whether it's the Shabbos or Truma or Chatzur or purchase, Kulan en kovin el bedavish and nigmar malach, now all of them establish a chiyuv from maisus only for something whose processing has been completed. The Gemara demonstrates that each of the four rulings are subject to a dispute, necessitating Rabbi Yochanan to rule in each case. It was necessary to rule regarding Shabbos to reject the opinion of Hillel, for it was taught in a Braisa, if someone gathered fruits for the purpose of transporting them from one place to another to spread them to dry, v'kiddush alehen hayom, and the day became sanctified when Shabbos began, Rabbi Yehuda says that Hillel la'atzmo oser, Hillel alone prohibits these fruits on Shabbos. Rashi explains that from Rabbi Yehuda's language, it's implied that the majority ruled that the fruits were permitted since they were not fully processed. Point number two, the opening mission of the fifth parak states, Mashiling Peres Derech Harub V'yantav Avalo B'Shabbos. We may lower produce through a skylight on Yantav, but not on Shabbos. Rashi explains that if one had spread out wheat and barley on his roof to dry, and fears that oncoming rains will ruin them, he may throw them through a skylight on Yantav into the house, since it's not considered Tirchi Yisera, excessive exertion. However, one cannot lift produce to pass it through a window, since this does involve Tirchi Yisera, excessive exertion. And pointing me through the grass, how much produce may be lowered through the skylight? And Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, and some say it was Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the amount is equivalent to what we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos. We may clear away four or five boxes of straw or of produce because of guests or because of limiting seating in the Beis HaMidrash. Our Mishnah, too, therefore, would allow moving four or five boxes. The Gemara gives three reasons why this amount would not necessarily apply to our Mishnah. Number one, perhaps here, since there's no bittul beis hamidrash, we cannot be so lenient. Point number two, perhaps since people are machmir with Shabbos, they will not become lax in his observance if they're permitted to move four or five boxes. But regarding Yantav, whose laws are lenient, and therefore people may become lax in observance, perhaps we should not allow the boxes to be lowered through the skylight. And number three, alternatively, perhaps the reason the Mishnah only permits moving four or five boxes on Shabbos is that there's no hepsid mamon, there's no loss of money. But here, where there's a financial loss, if the boxes are left on the roof, perhaps he can move even more. All right, so now we go to Simfer Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard simon is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir, who were singing their Kovela Maisras only after Gemar Malacha song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain, were told to lower no more than three boxes because there was no Bittul Beis HaMidrash. Once again, it's a motion. The children's choir, that must be on Daf Lamed Hey, la, la, la. The children's choir, who are singing their Kovei L'maisras only after a Gemar Malacha song, which reminds us, the Gemar presents a statement which contradicts the ruling of Rav Nachman, that Shabbos is Kovei L'maisras for even produce that has not been completely processed. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, Echad Trumva, Echad Chatzor, Echad Mekach. Whether it's Shabbos or Trumva or Chatzor or purchase, Kulan and Kovin El Bedvar Shenigmar Malachtan, all of them establish a Chiyuv for Maisras only for something whose processing has been completed. The Gemara demonstrates that each of the four rulings are subject to a dispute, necessitating Rabbi Yochanan to rule in each case. So the children's choir were singing their Kovei L'maisras only after Gemar Malacha's song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the fifth parak states, Mashilin Peres Derech Harub B'Yantiv Avelo B'Shabbos. We may lower produce through a skylight on Yantiv, but not on Shabbos. Rashi explains that if one had spread out wheat and barley on his roof to dry and fears that oncoming rains will ruin them, he may throw them through a skylight in Yantiv into the house, since it's not considered tircha yasera, excessive exertion. However, one cannot lift produce to pass it through a window, since this does involve tircha yasera. So the children's choir who are singing their Kovei L'maisras only after Gemar Malacha's song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain, we're told to lower no more than three boxes because there was no Bittul Beis HaMidrash. Which reminds the Gemara, how much produce may be lowered through the skylight? And the answer is given that it's the amount equivalent to what we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos. Mefanim arba v'chamish kupo shel tev v'shel tefua b'nei orchin ufnei Bittul Beis HaMidrash. We may clear away four or five boxes of straw produce because of guests or because of limiting seating in the Beis HaMidrash. Our Mishnah 2 would allow moving four or five boxes. The Gemara gives three reasons why this amount would not necessarily apply to our Mishnah. So once again, the children's choir was singing their Kovei L'maisras only after Gemar Malacha's song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain, were told to lower no more than three boxes because there was no Bittul Beis HaMidrash. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The retired judge. That must be more in Daf Lamed Aleph. The law. The retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his vase on Yantiv, which reminds us, we may bring wood from a field from that which has been gathered into a pile before Yantiv, umina karpaf, a field, umina mafuzer, and from an enclosure one may use even from what is scattered. Rava said, when it comes to leaves of reeds or leaves of vines, even if they are gathered and lying on the ground before Yantiv, since they would scatter if a wind would blow, they're considered kumufuzarim, they're considered scattered already and are prohibited. Rashi she explains that even if a wind doesn't scatter them, they are prohibited. Since the owner thought they would get scattered by the wind, he didn't plan on using them. Rava continues, if one placed a kli on the leaves the day before Yantiv, so they would not blow away, the leaves are not muksa. So the retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his face on Yantiv, just as he was about to chop wood with the narrow blade of his axe, which reminds us that the next Mishnah taught that one may chop wood from a beam that broke before Yantiv. However, one may not chop using a cardam, an axe, or a sickle, or a saw, but only with a butcher's cleaver. Rav Chinan of Bar Shalemya said in the name of Rav in regard to the cardam, the axe, the prohibition was taught only by using the wide edge of the axe blade, but using its narrow edge is permitted. One might have thought the Mishnah's leniency applies only to a butcher's cleaver that has no wide blade, but in the case of a single tool which has both an axe blade and a cleaver blade, I would say that since the side with the wide blade is prohibited, the other side with the narrow blade is also prohibited. Rav Chinan is coming to inform us that the narrow side of the tool is permitted. So the retired judge who grew frustrated when the wind blew his pile of leaves into his face on Yantiv, just as he was about to chop wood with the narrow blade of his axe, decided to breach the wall made from a pile of bricks and snack on his sealed-off produce. which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Baishu Mali Peros Benivchas, of a room filled with produce, was sealed before Yantav, but on Yantav it became breach. Note, Mamakum Apchas, one may take produce from the place of the breach. But Remer says, Apochas Vachachil Benoto, one may even breach the wall initially and take the produce. Rav Nechumi Bar Ada said, in the name of Rav, that the Mishnah refers to a room whose wall consists of a pile of bricks. Rashi explains that the bricks were stacked, but not cemented together. Rabbi Meir permits the demolition of such a wall, even though these bricks are muksa, as they were set aside for construction. Rabbi Meir permits moving the muksa bricks, because it's being done for the purpose of Simchas Yantav. Daf Lamed Beis, so the Simchas Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in a lab, that must be wrong, Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in a lab trying to haul out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins, which reminds us that Rav Yosef said that the Tana in the Mishnah that says that we may not haul out a lamp because one thereby makes it into a kli is Rav Meir, who holds that the kli cheres can be makabel tumah once it has been hauled out, even though it has not been hardened in a kiln. When asked that perhaps Rav Meir said that kli cheres that has not been hardened in a kiln is considered completed only with regard to a large utensil because it's suitable to hold something, but here, in the case of a small lamp, what is it suitable for? The Gemara answers that even a small lamp is suitable for holding coin. So the mad scientist in a lab trying to hollow out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins refused to let a poor man at his door sell them and share in the profit, which reminds us the Rav Nassim Bar Abba said in the name of Rav that the wealthy of Babel will descend to Gehenna, as can be shown by the incident where the wealthy of Babel refused to help Shabbosai ben Marinus by giving him work or sustenance. Shabbosai said that they were from the heir of Rav, and we learned Kol Merachem Al Brios Biyadua Shehu Mezor Shel Avram Avinu. Any Jew whose compassion with people is certainly a descendant of Avram Avinu. And anyone who is not compassionate with people is certainly not a descendant of Avram Avinu. So the mad scientist in a lab trying to haul out tiny clay lamps to hold small coins refused to let a poor man at his door sell them and share in the profit because his domineering wife wouldn't let him. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Gimel Chayehen Ein Chayim. There are three types of people whose lives are not lives, and they are Hamatzapu L'Shulchan Chavero. One must look to another's table for sustenance. It's Mishi Ishto Moshe L'Salab, and one whose wife rules over him. Mishi Yisurin Moshe Begufa, and one whose body is racked with pain. And some add also someone who only has one shirt, which will result in his becoming infected with lice. The Gemara asks why the Tana Kama didn't include in his list someone who only has one shirt, and the answer is for it's possible for him to check his clothing and remove the lice from them. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit, which reminds us, regarding a chizre using a pointed branch as a spit, Rav Nachman prohibits it, Rav Sheshes permits it. The Gemara presents two different versions of the Malchokas, whether they're arguing over using dry wood or moist wood. So the peg leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit while chewing on toothpicks he made by trimming hay, which reminds the Gemara examines whether wood may be splintered to slivers on Yantav for one to pick his teeth. Yudah said, Ochlu behema ein behen mishum tikun kli. Items which are suitable for foods of an animal, the prohibition of perfecting a kli doesn't apply to them. Rashi brings the examples of trimming hay or leaves of reeds on Shabbos to use as a toothpick. The Ran explains that these materials are soft enough for an animal to eat, and anything made from them would not be a lasting item. Therefore, the prohibition of perfecting a kli from them has not been violated. So the peg-leg pirate who loved using his pointed branch as a spit while chewing on toothpicks he made by trimming hay watches men collect piles of wood in the chatzim to be used immediately for kindling a fire. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Megabe mino chatzim madli. One may gather hay or slivers of wood from the chatzir to kindle a fire. Shekol mashe b'chatzir muchanu, because everything in the chatzir is considered prepared and not muksa. Ubilvad shel yaseh tzibur tzibur, provided he doesn't make piles of hay and wood. Rabbi Shimon permits making piles. The Tana Kama holds it's prohibited to make piles because it looks as if he's gathering hay and wood for the next day and for the day after that. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds it's permitted to make piles because his pot proves his intention. Since he's collecting hay and wood for use as firewood, and people see that he's ready to cook, they'll realize he's collecting these piles for immediate use. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantav, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera, What is halacha with regard to shechting a trod-on bird on Yontiv after it lived 24 hours? Mimas kinim ru'usa b'yomtiv or lo? Do we assume that a problem exists at a concern of violating Yontiv or not? Rashi explains that since shechting a treifa animal is asim b'derais in Yontiv, and in this case there is a greater chance the bird is a treifa, do we prohibit the shechit? Rabbi Zera attempt to answer the question based on our mission that prohibits heating new towels to roast on them because they might crack. Similarly, shechita should be prohibited because the bird could be a treifa. Rabbi Yirmiyahu rejected his proof, saying that heating the new towels in Yontiv is prohibited because it's necessary to harden them. So the trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yontiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shviz to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating. Which reminds us, in the next mission, Rabbi Lezer said, Omen Adam al-Muksa Erev Shabbos v'Shviz, a person may stand next to foodstuffs that are muksa on Friday during the Shviz year and declare, Mikan ani ochel amach, from here, I'll eat tomorrow. The term muksa refers to figs and grapes that were set in the sun to dry. Rabbi Lezer only requires an oral designation to remove the muksa status, and one does not have to decide specifically which produce will be eaten, since he relies on the principle of Breira. The Chachamim disagree and say that he must mark off the portion to eat and declare, Mikan ve'adkan, I'll eat tomorrow from here to here. Rashi explains that the Chachamim reject the principle of Breira. So the trod on a little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yontiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shviz to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, who had a teaching in his hand that Shabbos is Kovei LeMaisrus, whether there is Gemar Malacha or not. Which reminds us, Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos Mahu Shetik V'Muksa LeMaisr. Does Shabbos establish an obligation for Muksa produce, which is produce that has not been completely processed, to be tithed? Do we say that since the Pasuk states, V'Karasu Shabbos Oneg, you shall proclaim the Shabbos a pleasure, Kavav V'Afio Shalod Nigmar Malachta, the Shabbos establishes an obligation even for produce that has not had its Gemar Malacha or not? Rav Nachman answered, Limud Aruch Hu B'Yadenu Shel Shabbos Kvas. It is a fully developed teaching in our hands that the Shabbos establishes a chiv to take maisers whether the processing was completed or not. The Gemara will challenge Rav Nachman's position. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.